The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're on page 9 of the Doctrine of Biblical Cosmology. All right, let's take the usual time to be sure that we are spiritually where we need to be, in fellowship. That's the only place to be. That's where you glorify God, produce divine good, and learn the truth. So your opportunity to be sure that you are in a fellowship and stay in fellowship during this time that we have together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together once again in these last days and continue to pursue the high ground of divine viewpoint as illustrated in this particular study. Again, thank you for all you provide us with, all the protection in this world of which there are so many dangers and so much evil. Be with us in our study in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We concluded on last study giving you some information on fake science. In the devil's world, Satan has to deceive the human race. And one of the ways that he has done this widespread is the promotion of knowledge falsely so-called. We illustrated these, we noted these theories, the theory of things that are not proven by observation, but simply the product of the imagination of geniuses who obviously are under the influence of the evil one. All my ministry, I have pointed out the great contrast between what the Bible says and what man says, or what modern academia says. And again, I am certainly not opposed to the academic world as such. I am not opposed to legitimate study and research. But when it comes to science contradicting the Bible takes precedence. That's where I've always stood. And this is true with regard to the current study. The origin of the species. This obviously is contradicted by the Bible, right and left in every way. And also, common sense. Common sense, which is overruled in a lot of instances with regard to people. Other theories, Big Bang theory, origin of things, an explosion, producing everything over all these eons of time? No. This God created the heaven and the earth first verse in your Bible. He created the real estate. Hopefully you don't have a problem with that. He created what wasn't there before, the real estate of the third heaven, which it's nice to know and comforting to know. You take comfort from what you believe. If you believe the truth, then you're comforted by it. It is comforting to know that our Lord, seated at the right hand of the Father, and all the saints that have preceded us to heaven, they are not that far away from us. They are not sequestered millions or billions of light years away from us. Everything we have studied indicates immediacy, closeness, relatively speaking, certainly as compared to what is generally taught, that heaven is way, way, way gone out there somewhere. It is not. Heaven, when I'm talking about heaven, I'm talking about the third heaven. we have established there are three heavens. This is a part of the breakthrough. We understood that the atmosphere working its way up is the first heaven. We used to say that the stars and everything were the second heaven. They are not. It's the dome. It's the lid over the earth. That is called heaven in the verse we cited. There's your documentation. And above that is an ocean of water. How it's held in place, you got me. And there is the throne room and the real estate, however it is to be measured, whatever its size, it's large, and it is where God has manifested himself in a figure seated there, the Father, and also the Son now, as of his ascension to the right hand. So any trips back and forth, Jacob's ladder, any trips back and forth are relatively speaking, short distances. And certainly for the speed of angels, it's no problem to make this. When Gabriel was dispatched on an assignment from the third heaven to come to Daniel, he was on his way. So see, it isn't instant. The angel doesn't just get there and think. They travel, obviously very fast, but they travel. And on his way, runs into, apparently, a demon angel that was superior to him in strength, slowed him down, and Michael had to interject himself into the equation and take care of the prince of Persia. Not a human prince, a spiritual cosmos crater type. So all that indicates activity and movement. The opening of heaven and God speaking and things of this nature. It's all close. So that's the way it would inevitably be. So the science theories has everything blown completely into these eons of time, the distances, and so forth. God doesn't need that to manifest his plan. We can be impressed with his creation right here, right now, with all that he has put on this earth for our enjoyment and observation, although that's under a curse, but still, all of it God put on this earth, his footstool. And it is a part of your capacity for life to observe these things and relate your thinking immediately to God, not to accidental creation, but for purposeful creation by God, who alone can bring into existence that which did not previously exist in perfect form and full-blown. So, these theories all came together as a result of the Age of Enlightenment and beyond. Each one of them fell in place to support the intellect of the other, so that we would have a false theory of the origin of life forms, of the earth itself, and then they had to plug in the theory of gravitation to explain why the earth is able to travel at the speed it does around the sun and stay in place, etc., etc., etc. And it's completely unnecessary. It is a theory. It is not proven. And then, of course, theory of relativity. So, this all contradicts. I hope you can see this. I hope you can at least see that this is not supported, the view that we were raised to believe, is not supported by the text of Scripture. Scripture after Scripture. It's not just one Scripture. The whole Genesis flow of things in chapter 1, in the order of events, completely contradicts modern scientific views. Completely. All right, with regard to the fact that, and see, and I understand that for a person who is ingrained in this, that is a big transition. It's like going from believing that salvation was by works or something, faith or works or whatever it was, and coming out of that and realizing what the real truth is, because you were ingrained in a system that taught you you had to jump through all these hoops, and it was ingrained in you from a toddler. And then you hear the truth, and it absolutely slams into it the complete opposite. But it's doable. Just go with the Bible. Stand by the Word of God and what it says about things, and then you can look at the physical aspects and see where they don't make sense right and left. And that's a part of your treasure within, the truth within you. We cannot drop the ball with regard to the subject of creation. We cannot play games with it. We cannot say, what does it matter? We could say that with any doctrine. Then where are we at? We're nowhere. We are nowhere. So, the God of this world, his organization, the dark side, they have propagated all this, and they call it light. They call it truth. It is not truth. It is lies designed to deceive people and turn them away from the Bible and away from God. It works. It works right and left. People who are negative need something to hang on to, and all that Bible, those Bible stories. That's what we're up against. And of course, we're the minority, but we're going to prevail. The wisdom of men, the false teachings of men, philosophies, science, and all the rest of it is all going to be brought down and exposed for the bankrupt lies that are out there, to the shame of those who stayed on the wrong side of it. I don't know why this didn't get exposed earlier. I mean, it has been in church history. There was this before TV, before even radio, just when people were dependent on newspapers and stuff, and held meetings seeking to refute this. But this became the wave of the future. It's sexy. It's so neat. Now we can do a Star Wars 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, and people are addicted to it, absolutely addicted to it. And now we can sell everybody the idea that these UFOs, a lot of them, are alien civilizations. Oh, I just saw on the news, they found another planet. It's just like the Earth or close to it. You believe that stuff? I don't. None of it. They're liars. God doesn't have separate civilizations running around out here with separate rules. The Bible reflects nothing of this kind. It reflects that there is God, there are angels in two categories, and there are humans. And then there's the animal and the plant kingdom. The Bible supports all of that, from insects all the way up the ladder. God, the Bible supports that and tells us where it all came from. This is absolutely, this view of the origin of biological entities is absolutely, totally persona non grata in public education in the United States and in the world. They've all bought into it. I'm not saying they're not smart people. Biologists are smart people. They study things. They study animals. They study all what makes them tick and function. That's fine. But how it got here, that isn't. That's the difference. And it's important to the Christian faith. Because if the Christian faith has a crack and crumbles over this, then what do we have about the rest of it? God was able to inspire human authors through time to write down what he wanted, even if they didn't fully understand what it was revealed to them. He's fully capable, and he did it. And so the Word of God will stand tall in the face of this. I think that is why they're making special efforts today to crank out new discoveries with regard to the universe, right and left. An asteroid came real close to the Earth around Christmas. Why didn't the Earth's gravitation suck it into it? I mean, really, I'm told that gravity holds everything and that there's a tug of war between the moon and the Earth. There isn't. Everything's different. As in all other biblical things, it is night and day. Some scientific observations that serve to prove and demonstrate that we are on a flat, non-rotating Earth. Okay, children, keep it simple with people. If you ever get into discussion with anybody. Now realize that most people, they don't want to discuss this. They get mad as a wet hen. They get angry. Their STAs flare immediately. They can't sit back and think objectively. Because it can't be that this could be false. Because so many people believe it. Where do we ever get that one? So keep it simple with people. Use your common sense as a human and break, if you haven't already, break the spell that's been cast. You remember there was a spell cast over the Galatians. Real good Christians otherwise. Taught up by Paul, had everything right, and these teachers came in there and turned the plan of salvation inside out and had them believing they had to keep the law to be saved. While not rejecting the fact of the Messiah, they rejected that. So the Galatians were bewitched. That's what it means. Don't feel bad because you were bewitched. The only way you break out of these spells that have been cast on humanity is the truth. That brings them down in your soul. And you and every high and lofty thing erected against the knowledge of God. What do you suppose that is? You say, well, it's all these false religions. True. All their how big they are and how many billions pray towards Mecca or whatever. This is Satan at work. He is tireless. He sees a crack. He sees a trend. He sees a movement in people. He provides them with what they want. If they simply want to be rationalists, non-materialists, well, he'll push that too. And as times change and things advance, he reads the pulse of the human race. His organization. And he does not like it very much if there's anybody down here that's espousing true biblical principles in his world. He is the God of this world, the ruler, and he is the disseminator of this information. That's why it's called Doctrine of Demons. Wrapped up in a nice package and made respectable by the university system. In dealing with the physical aspect, because some of us came to the knowledge of this through the back door. Some come to the knowledge of this through the front door, the Bible. The back door is, this isn't working. This doesn't make sense. Even if I accept it in its totality, there are problems here and there, and I am a thinking human being, and I refuse to be bullied into just, oh, well, it just does. It just does isn't an answer. So keep it simple. Walk out here after church. Stand outside. Do you honestly believe you're traveling over 1,000 miles an hour? And you can't detect anything. Nobody has ever reported detecting anything. And you're going that fast. Water cannot adhere to a spinning ball. B, water cannot run uphill. Let them play games. Pull little things out of their hat. I never ever thought about that. Shame on me. I never thought about that. I never thought about the Nile River running uphill. See, because on a ball, we're all living on curvature. It's all curvature. There's always curving going on. I don't have, I should have brought a basketball in. Maybe I need to illustrate with a basketball. Hold a big basketball up. Is there any place on here that's flat? I don't see any. Go around it. You can make the ball as big as you want it. Or as small as you want it. There's nothing flat. It is all predicated on curvature, for crying out loud. I saw them in the old days making these globes, you know, and they're cutting this stuff out and pasting it on there, and everything's curvature. All the stuff, all the pieces they did to make up a globe with the, you know, continents and the oceans, all was just pasted on there by these people, one piece at a time. It's all curvature. Water cannot run uphill, as in the case of the Nile River in Egypt. What in the world drags that volume of water up a curve? It's not possible. Try to get water to run uphill somewhere. It ain't going to work. It goes downhill, always. No adjustments had to be made by aircraft in flight due to curvature. Man, they would really have to redo their science and their navigation. And that'd be true of ships, too. Or they wouldn't get where they were headed. In fact, there are stories of them. They went by this curvature thing and they wound up way off. Danger zone. Construction of railroad tracks and bridges do not factor in curvature in their blueprints. You say, well, there's curved bridges. Well, of course there are. They want ships to get under them. Like the Golden Gate. But there's others that are flat and for a long time. So that is not, that there's no argument there. If you believed one thing, oh, that's crazy, water running uphill. If you believed one thing, it's the crack in the thing, that crack in the dam that undoes the whole thing. If the earth had curvature, and I've read by engineers and stuff who have built railroad tracks and other kinds of roadways and so forth, they said, we have nothing in our math here that accounts for curvature. I guess it's a miracle. I'm being sarcastic. I guess it's a miracle. If you're building something over a curve, you're going to have to take all that into consideration. And there's math for it, good math for it. And that if the earth had curvature, then an adjustment of 8 inches per mile squared, spherical trigonometry, would have to be taken into account during navigation of airplanes and submarines, as well as construction of bridges, roads, etc., etc., etc. Go look at the Suez Canal. 100 miles. This is a big human construction project, linking these two bodies of water up. So they didn't have to go all the way around in shipping. Look at it. It's level. All the way. Couldn't be on curvature. The Danyang Kunshan Bridge in China was built in 2011 and is 102.4 miles. No curvature of the earth was taken into account by engineers. I don't know if that's the longest bridge in the world, but it probably is. Imagine getting on a bridge and you can't get off for 100 miles. You better have your tank full. That's 100 miles. The horizon, you know what horizontal means, don't you? Sure you do. Horizontal does not mean curve. The horizon is always level. Hence the expression sea level. Sea level. Likewise for the Suez Canal, 120 miles long. Exactly. With curvature, there would be no such thing as planes. Flat planes. Look them up online. World's longest plain. Go find out what it is. And the elevation at one end of it is the same as the other end. We measure elevation We do it all the time. There's devices to measure elevation. That plane is flat. There's one in Brazil. There's some very long planes. That flat earthers use to demonstrate that the earth is flat. All right. Here's another area of this spiritual warfare that has come home to me stronger than ever in my ministry. That we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're struggling against the powers of darkness, and it is a struggle, and it is a fight, because unbelievers are over here, believers are over here, and there's this conflict, this opposition. Imagine if you were raised up in a civilization and everything around you is Catholic. I mean, everything is pushed at you all the time. You can't escape it hardly. Like in Italy, in Rome, those places. Imagine standing up for the truth in that environment. Imagine the hell you'd get. All that would come down on you. This is the Christian life from the beginning, is this struggle, this spiritual warfare. And some people simply they don't want to be involved with it. They just want to go along, get along. Maybe they have their own private views. They don't want to do anything, say anything. But we are to give an account to anyone who asks us for the hope that lies within us, and that involves any doctrine. I'm not asking you to go out and collar people. If you want to have a miserable time, go ahead. But you stand for the truth. You stand for Bible doctrine as you do in all the other categories. Someone asks you, says, "I don't. Is the U.S. because they're a prophecy guy? They believe in the trib, and they believe that it's coming near. I don't. Is the U.S. in prophecy?" Yeah. They got a little lapel with an American flag on their deal. Is the U.S. in prophecy? Yes, it is. Here's the documentation, sir. Go look at it. Go look it all up. Study it. Work through it. Refute it if you can. I mean, not just by, "I don't agree." That's not refutation. That's not. Get the information and show where it's something else. It isn't. This isn't popular either, folks. This isn't popular with the fundamentalist churches out here at large. Oh, they know we're messed up. They got to know we're corrupt. They have any inkling of the truth of the Bible, they know that things are bad and getting worse fast. It's a spiral. This is the hand we've been dealt. Congregation, this is the hand we've been dealt. We're expected to stand in it. And at all costs, to stand in it. We'll be vindicated. I am as comfortable with this, the doctrine, that I am with any other doctrine in the Word of God that we've studied. Oh, I expect there will be more insights. Because, see, if you close off an area of truth, that shuts down other things. Truth propagates itself. Oh, now we see that. Now this makes more sense. So I'm expecting that's possible too. That's why we pray for those things. Now, another objection to this is how could everybody be in on this? I've already belabored this. How could everybody be in on this? Let's go back to our basic study of the work of the devil in the world. They're in on it because they've been indoctrinated in it. And they don't want to rock any boats. They like their careers. They don't want to be called a weirdo. They don't want any of this other stuff. So that's why they do it. "I don't want to be called a flat earth church." So you go out and you maintain the other. So you don't get that. When they slam us for our beliefs, we're suffering the reproach of Christ. Let them have at it. The leaders of the nations, there's ample evidence that the top leaders of the nations know the truth that they're hiding from the masses and their populations. Do you think the leaders of the world today at large, I don't know if we can find some exceptions. Not even in Israel. Do you think the leaders of the world today are really concerned about the well-being of their people? And the promotion of that which is healthy and beneficial to them? No way. And our country leads the pack in that failure in this department. They know the true nature of the earth at the very top levels. All the minions working under them and all that, they don't necessarily know. They don't have to. That's the way a conspiracy works. It's all compartmentalized. So if this people working on this part of the project, they don't know what the rest of this is. They don't even know necessarily what they're contributing to in the end runner. They might not engage in it. When they developed the atomic bomb, it was all compartmentalized. Only people at the top knew they were making a weapon of mass destruction. Well, thank you very much for introducing that technology to the human race. And we were the first to use it on people. Not Russia, Soviet. Not China, communist. We were the first to use it on a civilian population. Does that make you feel good? It's barbaric. Those two Japanese cities, the war was won, it was over. But we had the bomb, we had Truman, and we're going to drop it. So we can go into the atomic age and the Red Scare and all this business. And we're supposed to be the good guys? If you saw, they suppressed the pictures from this. One of the things that it was a backlash for the Vietnam War was a lot of photography. We're sending those kind of pictures home today in a bunch of coffins. That's off subject. We bombed those two cities with those weapons, killing men, women, and children, hospitals, schools, boom. If the Nazis had done that, we went berserk, right? You don't know the true history. That's another thing. They've hidden the true history of stuff. It's all doctored. So much of it. Once again, academia. Let's frame the narrative. Let's control the narrative. We got to control the narrative. And all the ways they want to do it to get us to believe in their stuff. American, that we're the good guys and all the rest of it. And we're doing so much good in Afghanistan. I can't believe it. I feel so free as a result of that. You say, well, there's dedicated men and women out there. Dedicated. They volunteered for this. There are a few that have seen through it. The leaders of the nations know the true nature of the earth with its dome and the location of the throne room. I believe, and it's coming out, and see, as you study something, you grow in your understanding and appreciation of it. I told you this last week, I told you that I believe that the Antichrist, I know he is, he is going to overtly proclaim Lucifer as the real deal. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Lucifer. He's not going to hide and be serving Satan but not mention it. And he's not going to call him Satan or the devil. He's going to call him Lucifer, I suppose. When one of the sealed judgments come down, you know what? The one that's just psychological trauma. The one where it appears that the whole creation's coming apart. That one, number 6, I believe. And they want to hide under the rocks. And even the stoutest men, the people that are inured through training and everything to danger and not easily shaken by bad things that come down. Well, the average person around here, you know, if a little bit of an ice storm comes up, you can't even get on the parking lot of a grocery store. They panic. Oh, we got to get all the groceries now. It's just a little storm. These are the kind of guys that danger doesn't bother them. But this will cause them absolute trauma. And you know what they say? Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. That will be their exact terminology. Where they pick this up from? The two witnesses and the announcement that you're going to face a Lamb like you've never faced before. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. Two incongruous things put together, wrath and a lamb. But this lamb is special, in a special category. So my point I'm trying to make is that they know. And the Antichrist, when he maligns the Lord and those who are in heaven, he's not denying the rapture. He's not saying, oh, a bunch of aliens came and took them. That's what I used to say, something like that. And so they have some lie cranked out. He's going to come right out, point blank, this whole thing. He is so different. He is like injected from another world at another time and fitted in to a modern world and able to know what a toothbrush is and all the other stuff that goes with it. Yeah. His lie will be, I overcame this. And I'm going to overcome that too. Satan's desire from the time of his fall was to replace God on that throne. You can't replace an infinite spirit that's everywhere to do that. But his deal is, if I can elevate myself and occupy that throne. Now, Satan visits there all the time. Must grind on him a little bit. He hasn't been successful to overthrow the heavenly throne and to elevate himself above the stars, angels of heaven. To usurp the throne. To occupy it. He isn't merely content to deceive masses down here, right and left. He wants to overthrow the regime. Something to think about. The aborted Tower of Babel, designed to reach the third heaven, was with the full knowledge that the earth was flat and dome sitting just beneath the throne of God, Genesis 11:1-8. Hillary Clinton, you say, well, that's online. They could have made this up. I understand. Okay, bear with me. She is cackling and laughing and say, we're going to break through that glass. What? I saw that one. They know it's there. They know the nature of the earth. They've got to. Or... And they would like to, the idiots would like to knock a hole in it or something. These people, the Tower of Babel, you say, this is completely stupid what they were doing. All this energy and all this effort. How many bricks do you think they could get out there and make and get so high? They wanted to reach heaven. Well, the first heaven, that's no problem. You just have a few hundred feet and you're in it. Psalm 2, especially verse 2, indicates an awareness of who and what Jesus Christ is. They know He's coming. Where He's coming from? The speed of light from somewhere out there? No. They know it's not a trip that is it's measured in thousands of miles, not anywhere beyond that. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together. They counsel together against the Lord, God the Father, and against His anointed, Jesus Christ, saying, we're going to break this whole thing up and we're going to take absolute control. Satan will get anybody to believe that they can do the impossible. This all indicates collusion based on the fact they know truth about the nature of the earth, all the while keeping the masses fooled so they can push this other stuff. Why is the flat earth with its stylized ice wall featured on the United Nations flag? For crying out loud. They use the word globalist all the time. Global, global. So why do they have... Did somebody make a mistake? When they could have easily put a globe on there? Somebody said something stupid like, well, they're trying to deceive us. Deceive us into believing it's a flat earth? Well, they're doing a very poor job. They're teaching it in all the schools and everything. So how's that? That's them giving us the middle finger. Pardon the expression. I'm not so sad about it. That's what they do. They do it in movies. They telegraph stuff. They like to do that. You're all dummies. You're all suckers. And we're going to trot it out there, but there's a few smart people that get it. I'm thankful for them, because it's analyze this movie, The Shining. He does a breakdown of it. Maybe you didn't see that one. And others. They telegraph 9/11 in a made for TV deal. Planes hitting the towers. They do this all the time. See, this is what I had problems with some in my congregation over the years. They don't believe that there's any big conspiracies. Oh, two people out here might conspire to, whatever, pilfer money from the educational fund of a school. But they don't believe in conspiracies of this magnitude. Really? Gotcha. You've had it. Satan is of a conspiratorial nature, and there's people with these minds. It's a conspiracy, the communist conspiracy, to overthrow and subvert and tell all the good things we're going to do for the working class and make everybody happy. No. It's a conspiracy. So conspiracies exist, and the rebellious spirit of the peoples at Babel is alive in the hearts of modern leaders. I showed you the poster, 1992. The European Union with his incomplete tower and a guy with a hammer outside it and all these workers. We're going to accomplish what was failed back then. God overturned it. He's going to overturn this one too, and we know how. Let us go down and see what they're doing. Satan is not content with spreading his lies. He desires to overthrow God's throne. Isaiah 14:15. But you said in your heart. Satan's getting this thrown back in his face when he's in hell. Get this. See, there's a lie. My mind just goes. Satan gets knocked off the earth at the second advent, right? He goes to hell. We don't have to put up with him for 1,000 years. And his organization. They're out of here. Like getting the air all clean and get all this mess out of here. When he comes down, they will chide him. They will mock him. The one who wanted to be the highest is now mocked by those he deceived in time that are in hell. This is in Isaiah 14. You said in your heart. See that this is rubbing salt in the wound. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. Directionally, on your flat earth, the Arctic zone is north. Everything out from there is south. Go directly up sides of the north. You'll hit the throne of God. The original poster for the European Union featured the famous painting of a unfinished Tower of Babel by this Flemish artist, Peter Bruegel, the Elder, 1563. With workmen with hammers suggesting a modern attempt, it reads, Europe, many tongues, one voice. What they call globalism, we call one world, building the one world order, step by step. George Bush Sr. was all into it. We're building a new world order and 1,000 points of light. We are. Nation by nation. Piece by piece. But it isn't working for the dummies now. It is not working. China and Russia aren't cooperating. And we haven't figured out how to subjugate them. We put sanctions. We do this. It isn't working. A universal empire over the whole earth never worked. We got so many problems at home, it isn't even funny. And then, here we are out there. We are this rogue, that's been kind of somewhat defanged. It's getting ridiculous. That was the whole thing with Europe. And that was the whole idea of World War II and I and II, was to bring Europe into a United States of Europe. That's a stage. There's an architect, a man who was the principal architect of this. If you studied this in detail, they wanted to do it between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. They do it with economic things first. Then they want to get political things. It's unnatural. And it doesn't work in the practical world of politics and governing people. It doesn't work. The Europeans are highly dissatisfied with Brussels. And not Brussels sprouts. Brussels. The headquarters. Where they built and then in Strasbourg. That's the second place. Strasbourg. See, the average person, you never even think about this stuff. They're watching the football game or the impeachment circus. They never study this stuff out, what they're trying to do. Establish world governance over the nations with a single judiciary, a single financial system, a tyranny. The reason God established nations was because of the STA. Those in power want to control everything, make us a bunch of serfs, and just doing their little bidding. You have no your freedom of choice is ripped away from you. So, Russia's thrown a wrench into the monkey works with Putin coming to power. God raises up people. He isn't getting along with them. They didn't like the Tsar back in the day, so they had him killed. And they went through all that mess and all that killing and everything. And now Russia comes up out of the ashes. See, this whole idea of Russia's going to be powerful and blow up the United States didn't look very good in the 80s and 90s with the condition that Russia was in, economically, militarily, etc. But they've come front and center. God's messing with them before he brings them all down. Without the United States, I doubt, with its great economic power historically, there would have been none of this mess. If we'd have behaved ourselves. But we didn't, because we are run by the elite. And our politicians are their puppets. And the systems that are supposed to inform us, media, education, generally isn't doing it. Remember Walter Cronkite? Those of you old enough, you thought he was the grandfather figure ever, pro-American. Abba, he was a big-time internationalist. He got awards for this stuff. He was doing one thing in front of people and this behind the scenes. Further, one of the buildings of the European Parliament in Strasbourg, the Louis Weiss building, includes one of the towers that appears to be unfinished, mimicking the famous painting of Bruegel.
These things aren't accidents.
They aren't accidents in the least. And so we'll take our break, and I will torture you with one more Bible class. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.